Guys, can get out of here. We got something special for you guys next door. And, in the midst of it all, through good and through bad, the Lord is good in all these things. So keep your eyes upon Him. And I am. There we go. Okay, everybody, let's please the book of 1 Peter. And actually, that is wrong. That's 1 Peter chapter 4, it should be. I don't want to go backwards. But in 1 Peter, we've been talking about, living in this crazy world that we're in. And I don't know about you, but things haven't gotten less crazy. Has anyone else's life gone back to normal? All right, I just wanted to know, because I was going to be deeply jealous of you if somehow you found an oasis of normalcy in this. And everything has just become harder, hasn't it? I mean, just nothing is easy. And I don't know what that was. All right. I know that's what it sounded like. It's like, ooh. All right. But, things haven't become more normal. And everything is just difficult. And I'm finding myself, okay, Lord, this. Help me be patient. Because if I'm upset, if I'm anxious, it isn't helping anything. And so I've just learned to spend a little time longer online, in line, waiting, because it doesn't change anything. And I can't help but looking at this world and hoping things get better, and it may not. A lot of people are like, well, what if this is the new normal? I don't like that. I don't really know if I really care for the old normal, but I know I don't like this one any better. Right? Anyone else around that? And looking at what's going on, and we talk about sort of the political dialogue that's going on. It just breaks my heart. You talk about Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She was voted in with 93%. In that point, what happened was they said, is she qualified? I remember that point. They said, is she qualified or is she not? I don't necessarily am trying to examine where she stands politically. We had people who didn't agree with her at all politically who looked at her and said, you know what? She is qualified. Here's the checklist of a qualified judge. And that's kind of gone out the window now. And things have become more polarized as we've gone on. And the dialogue is getting more fierce. And it's like, are things going to turn back? And I wish I could say I can see that, but I don't know. I don't know. So what does that do? As a person who loves this country, who is in awe and respect of our Constitution, I believe God led founding fathers with wisdom beyond themselves to establish the system we had. That many came to this country for religious freedom, the freedom to worship God. And we see this discourse go on, and I think where it comes in more and more is, what if things don't change? What does that cause us to do? And I don't know about you, but it's causing me to say, Lord, help me keep my eyes on you. Help the church do what the church is supposed to do, no matter what happens in the world around us. As a Christian, as a follower of Christ, the Bible hasn't changed, right? My duties, responsibilities to Him are the same. And I think we pick this up in chapter 4 of 1 Peter. And one of the things that I think we need this encouragement is, Peter comes up through. I mean, the early church was being persecuted and Christians were being killed for their faith. And we haven't gotten quite to that point yet. But, the Romans were wicked in their morality. And it was permeating into the church. And Peter is just telling them, look, keep your eyes on the Lord. Do what is right. Remember who you are. He starts here, and I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians first, but chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone in Christ is a new creature, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Right? Who am I in Christ? And I am a new person. I'm not the person I used to be. My goals, ambitions, all those things have changed. Think of the old hymn. It says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim." Now look, I am a new person in Christ. Part of that is I have new appetites. I have new desires. I don't necessarily need the things of this world, but in here I draw myself closer to God and what he wants me to do. And it's drawing me closer to my family, of what happens in my home. All right, I have no control of what happens in the town or in the state or in the country, but I can come and control what's in my heart, and I can control those people around me and make a difference in that. I'm a new creature in Christ. As Christians, we're called saints. I know some churches will say, well, a saint is a person who's died and they've had a couple miracles given in their name and all that. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that you are a saint. You are a chosen one. That's what the word means, a called out one. That we belong to God, that I am Saint John. How's that? But you are a called out person for the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul told the Corinthians this in 2 Corinthians 6:17, "Therefore come out from among them, be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you." Right? We're picked out of this world, but we're pulled out not just to be isolated, but we're pulled out and put onto his team. Now, I was not very athletic as a child. I was kind of tall and kind of lanky. And I was one of these kids that was all over themselves, tripping and all that. And I wasn't very strong. I was just believe it or not, I used to be really skinny. And so gym class I hated because they would line up the two captains. And they would go back and forth, pick who's going to pick on who's, right? Do you guys have that in school? I don't think you're allowed to do that anymore. But I was like one of the last ones pick, you know? And it was like, oh no. You know, so and then there's you and Eugene. You know? And I'm like, I don't want to be last. It's like, ah. And so I think this part of it, when I talk about this idea that God chooses us, when God picks us, that he selects us to be on his side. And it's great because it's not a matter of I'm worthy because I have so much that God could use. It's not a matter of that at all. It's a matter of God chooses to love me and chooses to love you. And not because what we can bring to him, but because he wants to love us and what he can do in our lives. That's an amazing thing. That when God chooses us, we are saints, we are called out of this world, but we're called onto his team. We're called onto him to serve him and worship him. You know, why does God want my worship? You know, it's not because of my beautiful voice. Right? But why? Because God chooses to love us. And that's neat. Because in and of myself, I'm really a nobody. You know, I'm not important like you are. But God has chosen us. We are saints. Lastly, one of the things I want to put on too is that we are the church. Jesus said this in John 15, it says, "If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of this world, I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore the world hates you." The world hated Jesus. And Jesus did nothing but wonderful things and fed and cared for and healed. All these things he did, and yet the world did not like him because they wanted their own way. And Jesus stood in the way of that because Jesus came to point us to the Father. And when those things meet and those two standards meet, the world standard and God's standard, God doesn't change and he's right. That forces us to change, you know. If it comes down to, I disagree with God, guess who's wrong? Then that causes me to adjust and change. And often we don't want that. I want to be able to do what I want, say what I want, but I don't want any of the consequences of it. But we are the church, and we are called to be different. We are called to be a peculiar people, the Bible says. We are called here to show people what Christ is like. To stand on what Christ would stand for. To love as Christ would love. We are his representative. We are his hands. We are his feet, the scripture says. And unfortunately, a lot of the churches today have really just kind of dropped what God says and become sort of a social club where there is no standard. Where God's word isn't taught. And so in here, we are a called out group. That's actually the term church just means that. It means called out assembly. But we are called out from the world. And I think that's where some of these politicians are missing the boat. That we need church. We need each other. This is essential for who we are. It's part of, by definition, who we are. We're the assembly of God's chosen to pray for each other, to encourage each other. As Martin says, you know, I like you guys. But you got to like me because I'm family now, because I'm part of the family of God. With all these things in mind, as we look at what we're called into, because a lot of times what happens, even when we go on, I found myself talking about, you know, sort of the world's way and the philosophies of the world, and then what God wants. It always kind of talks about, almost in a negative sense. We don't want to be like them, you know, they're doing things wrong. And there is that sense of scripture where we look, okay, there is a distinction. But I want to reinforce this whole idea that we're called to something better. We aren't just called to leave the world, but we're called to God. We're called to Christ. We're called to a better life. And that's a positive thing as we look at these things. And I think we need that reinforcement because sometimes we don't fit into this world. And that's going to happen more and more. But that's okay because we're called to something better in all these things. So in light of this, 1 Peter chapter 4, I kind of title this idea of just walk away. As we see the crowd, we see this world, we see what's going on, I think Peter, what he does here is encourage these Christians to turn around and walk with God. And sometimes we have that separation from this world. As the world's going on, we can't go that way anymore. We can't agree with that anymore. I want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in here, it's imperative for us to follow the Lord where he goes. Jesus said this in Luke. Then he said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. At the end of the day, I am a Christian, which means I am a Christ follower. And what that means is, if I follow, that means where he goes, I follow, right? The other day, we were down in Waterville, and this older lady came up to me, and she's like, can you help me? She goes, I'm trying to find my way to Bangor. We were in Waterville. She goes, I need to do you know, can you help me? We're at Governor's at the time. If you guys are familiar with Waterville. I said, oh, you just go out to the light here and kind of hang, and you'll get on 85 and they'll take you right to Bangor. And she was, you can tell she was confused. And so I told her, I said, okay, I'm going to get in my car. Follow me and I'll get you up on the interstate. All right? So she got in her car and she started backing up and she took off. So I'm running, you know, trying to get in the car, pull up through. At the end of the parking lot, she's rolled down her window and she's talking to someone. She's like, hey. She goes, she was looking for us. And she's asking this couple if they knew who we were. So I pull along the other side and goes, are you? Yeah, I said, okay. So I told her, I said, just follow me. Just follow me. So I got in front of her, we came up, and have you ever had someone try to follow, you know, so you gotta make, it's hard because you gotta wait, there's a gap for two cars, right? You know, because you don't want to lose her. So we turned onto one street, and okay, top light, it's right there. So we're at the stoplight, and all of a sudden I see her lights, she's right behind me. Then she turns and comes right next to me. And I roll on the window and she goes, which way are we supposed to go? I said, ma'am, we're going right over here. You're in the wrong lane. Just follow me. So the light turned and she can't cut over. And we got on there. I turned the blinker. We got up under the ramp. We got onto the interstate. So we're driving down the interstate. Well, she's going to Bangor. I wasn't going to go that far. And so an exit's coming up and she's following me. You can see where this is going, right? I had a hard time following me. So I told my wife, I said, what should we do? Right? I was like, should I lose her? You know, should I just speed on it and just kind of, because she's going the right direction. She's going where she's supposed to go. And I was like, well, I don't feel right. So I turned on my blinker and I took out the exit I needed to go on to because I was going to go to Bangor. And so I pull off and lo and behold, guess what? She pulls up right behind me. We get up. So I stop, get out of the car. My wife's like, don't let her hit you. And so I get out and I'm like, ma'am, I said, you were on the right path. You just keep going. And she goes, well, how can I get back on the interstate? And I was like, just cross over. Just cross over and that's the on-ramp. I said, now, when you get to Bangor, will you be okay? She goes, oh, yeah, I grew up in Bangor. I know Bangor like the back of my hand. All right, no problem at all. And so I'm like, okay. And so I said, follow me again. This time I'm not in the car. I'm walking across the road, pointing her, and I got her on 95, and she headed off. And I pray the Lord got her where she needed to go. And I was studying this out, and Jesus says, look, if you want to be a Christian. Pick up your cross and follow me. And it seems like such a simple instruction, doesn't it? Just follow. And this is a good illustration. Here was a lady. I just told her, follow. And it got so complicated. And I think sometimes in our lives, isn't that what we do? Jesus says, follow me. This is what the Bible says. No, just follow. And we'll go in the right direction. In here, I think Peter gives us a couple things that we walk away from. First thing is we walk away from sin. Grab your Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 4, just the first few verses here. It says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer shall live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Therefore, we talk about the sufferings we have in this world, right? Peter warns them, look, you are going to suffer persecution in this world because our philosophy is different from the world's. Our goals are different from the world's. We're trying to do what God wants. The world wants to do what it wants. And there's going to be opposition. We're going to be attacked for it. Don't be surprised, Christian, when that happens. And so keep our eyes on him. And so prepare ourselves. Because the world is going to go towards sin. And it's looking for approval of that sin. And oftentimes what it wants to do is protect itself from the consequences of those sins. And as Christians, I can't condone it because God doesn't. This is what the Bible says. And stand on it. So prepare yourself. Now here we have a choice to follow the lusts of men or we turn around and follow the will of God. Walk away from sin and follow the will of God. And what is the will of God? We find it in this. I'm finding myself more and more in my dialogues as I'm explaining where I stand politically or where I stand morally on issue. Time and time again, says, yeah, but the Bible says. Because if I just go and give you my opinion and my views, you know what? That's worth really nothing. And I'm finding more and more I have to go to the scriptures and say, you know what? This is what the Bible says. And I'm going to go with God on this one. Follow the will of God. Paul told the Romans this in chapter 6 of Romans. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, certainly not. For how shall we who are dead to sin live any longer in it? See, part of being a Christian, what happens is he delivers us from sin. We don't have to live in it. We don't have to do those things. We don't have to fall down those roads anymore. God has given us His Spirit within us to keep us from sin. But unfortunately, sin is kind of comfortable for us. And maybe all our friends are doing it. And I want to fit in. Be careful. Be sure your sins will find you out. There's always a price for sin. And I think part of what we're seeing in the world today is we've taken God out of the public square and people are suffering the consequences of that sin. And no one likes consequences. So they're trying to find other ways, either looking for people to condone those sins, to code over the consequences of those sins. The Bible just tells us to walk away from it. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, the more I am in His Word, the closer I am to Him, the more I spend time in prayer in here, God will reveal His will to us. But I got to think differently. And I do that by putting God's Word here. It's interesting because my wife and I were married 32 years. She's not helping me. She can't see me. 32. And it's funny because, when we were first married, my wife and I are very different. I don't know if couples here, if you guys, my wife and I are very different from each other. And we didn't date like normal people did. We kind of met, then I went off to school and she went off to school. We corresponded back and forth. And we had kind of joked around because if we had been together in the same state, we were very different. We probably wouldn't have gotten married. But the Lord wanted us together, so He kept us apart. And so we're together and we've worked it out. But we were very different from each other. But amazing things started happening. Married 30-some years, that all of a sudden now, we're more alike than we thought we would. And we got married, and my wife really wasn't a coffee drinker, didn't like the stuff. And me, don't talk to me until I have a bottle of pot in me. Now, guess who's addicted to coffee? Right? All of a sudden now, our preferences are still very different, but it's funny how all of a sudden now, we're completing each other's sentences. We're kind of like that old couple that does that now. She speaks like this, I call it girl talk. That's probably race sexist, but she'll talk without actually using any nouns. And now I can understand what she's saying. Right? It's funny how over the years, being together has caused us to think a lot more alike. That's what this verse in Romans is talking about. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Folks, the more we hang out with the world, the more we'll think like the world, and the more the world will draw us. But the more time I spend with God, and in His Word, and with prayer, and with God's people, the more I'm going to think like Him. And in here, I think this is one of the wonderful things about church, because we can get together with people who remind me I'm not as crazy as the world says I am. Right? Because the world has its idea of what family is and how couples work and all these things. And you know what? It doesn't line up with God's Word. And I can get together with other Christians and it's like, oh wow, I'm talking with people who are trying to raise their kids the same way I am. Who have the same values that I have. Why? Because we serve the same God. But walk away from sin. Second thing is to walk away from the world. 1 Peter continues on in chapter 4. It says, "For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. We walked in lewdness and in lusts and drunkenness and revelries, drinking parties and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it's strange that you not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you." It's interesting because the more I love God, the more I'm in His Word, and the more I seek Him out, the more I find I have less in common with some of my old friends. Right? It's sort of a natural progression. You know, I remember when I was single. When I was single, guess what? I had a lot of single friends. And then I got married. And all of a sudden, my single friends, we didn't have so much in common anymore. Right? I remember once, you know, I said, a bunch of guys were like, "Hey, let's go out and do this." I said, "I have to ask my wife." And I got ribbed. "Oh, yeah, the old ball and chain, right? Yeah. You know? And it's like, you know, it's not like that. And I found over the course of time that all of a sudden I drifted away from all my single friends. And all of a sudden now we have married couple friends. Because we're all kind of in the same thing together. Right? And then all of a sudden you have a kid. Right? And then you got a kid in the mix, and then you're trying to deal with your single, I call them single couples. You know, they're free, right? They don't have kids. Right? You want to clear a room of couples, you know, you have one couple that has kids, and you start talking about, you know, what you found in your kid's diaper. Although they don't want to do that anymore, right? Other than that, hey, why don't we look at the time? It's 10 o'clock. Head down to Governor's. You know, you're like, "Well, no, we gotta get our kid to bed and we're tired because we gotta get up at," right? And they're like, "Oh, come on," right? And all of a sudden what happens is after a while, you start having friends who all have kids who are all kind of in the same phase as you are, right? I mean, it's sort of a natural progression we see in life. We tend to gravitate towards people who are in the same place we are in life. Same thing happens when we come to Christ, as we serve Him and want to please Him, and in here that all of a sudden now I start gravitating towards couples who are trying to raise their kids the same way. I'm hanging out with people who are going to church, right? Because you know, my unsaved friends are like, "Why are you wasting your time? Why are you going to church? You can sleep in." Well, I'm the pastor. I have to show up, right? I mean. But all of a sudden now, and I think what we're seeing, part of what I think we see this political divide is because not only are there issues of, you know, "Well, do you believe in this tax policy or this tax policy?" Right? We've gone some of those things, you know, "Well, this one's for the rich people and this one's for the working people," right? We've kind of drifted past. Now what we've gone is some really moral issues. And the divide is so great. Because some of these grounds, there aren't middle ground. Right? And I think these things are spilling over. And all of a sudden now that separation is now taking place. And folks, I think it's time for me to kind of say, you know what, I can't walk with the world anymore. I need to walk away. Because I want to follow Christ. And it doesn't matter if it's popular, it doesn't matter anything else. I want to serve and worship Him. And it causes me to walk away from this world. You know, I don't watch what the world watches. I don't listen to what the world listens to. Because it's contrary to God, who I'm walking towards. James tells us this way. He says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. The world system is going to hell. And I can't go that way. Jesus puts it this way. He says, look, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go by it. But narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Jesus says, you know what? You can't go by the crowd. You know, this is a democracy, so if we all agree, then it must be right. That's not the case at all. And the world is going down the wrong road. And I think it's gone downhill. And I think it's a slope that pretty soon they're going to fall off. And as Christians, we got to stand firm on the Word of God. It's the narrow road. And few will find it. And I think as we go further and further down this road, that folks, I think that we're going to find out who the real Christians are. Who are the ones that really want to follow the Lord? Who are the ones who's going to say, you know what? Though no one goes with me, still I will follow. Because ultimately what happens is, according to Peter, is we walk away from judgment. He says here in 1 Peter, the end here, says, and they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel is preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. That they will have to give an account. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And folks, as a nation, as we've walked away from God, is it any wonder we find ourselves in the position we are? I mean, just in our nation alone, you know, I'm not one who points, I know what God's doing. But folks, this nation is in a mess. We got fires and plagues. And, I mean, look at all that's going on. The unrest and the turmoil and the violence. Folks, we've taken God out of the public square. And as we go further down this road, judgment will come. How do I know? Not because I say so, but because of God's word. Revelation chapter 20, the end of the book, says, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to the works by the things that were written in the books. You see, in this world, I think we cry out for justice because we feel like the wrong is getting away with it. You ever feel that way? It seems like the more crooked, the more wicked, the more they get away with. And it's not fair. And part of the tendency, I think, of human nature, part of the flesh, is you can't beat them, you want to join them. You know what? If they can do it, I can do it too. Right? Don't fall for that, Christian. Because the Bible does say that everyone's going to stand before the judge, God. And they'll be judged according to all that was written down. And can I tell you something? God keeps good books. You know, I think sometimes we look at our system. I don't know about you, but I feel like we live in a two-tier system. If you have money and wealth and power, that you get away with more stuff than you and I. Can I tell you something? God doesn't play favorites like that. No one's going to stand before God and say, "Do you know who I am, God?" He says, "Yeah, I am. And on page 345, this is what you did." Folks, they will fall in the judgment. And so in this world, I think part of what our responsibility is for us is to call out, is to warn. Hey, they don't have to go down that road. Jesus has provided a way. If they will accept Christ as their Savior, accept their forgiveness of sins, that He can work in their lives too and change them from their wicked ways. But I think really we're coming to a point in our society where we can't go down that road anymore. I can't say this is right. I can't condone it. That it's time for the church to be different. Because we're standing on God and His Word. Lord, change me to be like You, Lord. And walk away from this world. Walk away. Because I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray within our hearts, Lord, you stir within us a desire to know You. Lord, to know Your Word and to follow You step by step along the way. Lord, I know it's what it's going to do is put us on opposition to this world. Lord, I can't do what the world does anymore. I can't agree with what the world agrees to anymore, Lord, because I'm following You and Your Word. And not my will, but Your will be done. Lord, I pray for us here to have the strength to follow You. The knowledge to know what You want. To turn away from the sin of this world. To turn away from the world and its system and its philosophies. And Lord, to turn away from its judgments. Lord, because someday every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So pray for this world. Lord, we pray that we draw them to You. That some may be spared. Lord, we ask this in Your name.